Hey guys, welcome back to Real Time Crime. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Javai.
And today's case, we will be continuing with our theme of familicide, which again means the murder of multiple family members within a quick and short amount of time of each other. This takes place in Chicago, and it is the murder of the Martinez family, also known as the Gage Park Massacre. Take it away, Javai.
So like Hannah mentioned, the story I have for today is based in Chicago, Illinois, in the Gage Park neighborhood, which is in the southwest area of the city, specifically on 57th and California. This unfortunate story starts on February 2nd of 2016, when a family of six were found murdered inside their family home. So the family consists of Noe Martinez Sr., 62, Rosa Martinez, 58, and wife of Noe. Noe Martinez Jr., 38, and Maria Martinez, 32, both children of Rosa and Noe. As other neighbors reported, Gage Park was very family-oriented and somewhat safer than other communities in the nearby Chicago area, until recently when gang activity had been a little bit on the rise, but not more than usual. Other than that, friends and neighbors did not notice or know anything unusual or any unusual activity that would make this family a target for such a heinous crime. And like I mentioned before, the family was not only very close-knit, but they were also a very hardworking and trusting family. So when Noe Jr. didn't show up to work on February 3rd, which was a Wednesday, his coworkers were immediately worried. He worked at O'Hare cleaning windows, and one of his coworkers named Florentino said that it was, quote, very unlike him to not show up without saying anything. He was a very hard worker. His coworker also stated that he was supposed to bring tamales to work that day, and that was the first red flag because he didn't call and just didn't show up. Also aside from the tamales, like I said, he had a very strong work ethic. And, you know, it was unusual that he didn't call and didn't show up to work. So his boss and his coworkers called and called and called, and he still wasn't picking up. So when he didn't show up another day on the 4th, they decided to call the police to do a well check and make sure that everything was okay. In the meantime, one of their neighbors, Marquita Williams, whose son was friends with one of the children, said that Noe Senior's van, so the grandfather, was parked in the street, which was very unusual because they have certain parking rules. For example, if it was snowing or a certain day of the week, they can be parked out in the street. And he had been living here for a long time, so he very well knew these rules. So Marquita decided to go over their home and just knock on the door and try to remind him to move his car so he wouldn't get towed. But when she walked up to the house, she noticed something very, very weird. She said that all the curtains had been closed for several days, and this was specifically unusual because their curtains were always open no matter what. Her son also told her that he hadn't seen anyone since Monday. So after she left and no one answered the door, the next day she looked out her window around 5 p.m. on Wednesday, and she noticed that the van was still parked on the street, which sort of worried her a little bit more. So after the coworker Florentino called for a well check, officers show up to the house and they walked into what they described the most gruesome murder they had seen in years. When the officer walked into the home, she had to use forced entry to enter through the back door of the house. And right away, she saw the first victim laying on the ground, stabbed to death. The officer says, quote, "This guy looks like he's been stabbed multiple times," quote. So as the officers continue to walk through the home, they call in another victim and they say, quote, "There's another victim back here. It's a female, an older female," quote. So officers keep walking through the house and one by one, they found a total of six victims, four men, two women, and one child they estimate between the ages of 10 and 12. Because the bodies were scattered all over through the home, police believe that there might have been multiple attackers. Officers also thought that it might have been a murder-suicide because it appeared that they were all family members. The streets nearby were closed off for 16 hours while detectives and police worked together to gather all the evidence and process the crime scene. So, heartbreaking side note, after they checked the entire home, they found the family dog. They found the family dog named Pelusa, which means fuzzy in English. And she was covered in blood and just had a petrified look on her face. When I read this, I literally almost threw up and wanted to cry. I can't imagine it. I'm sure she saw her whole family get murdered. And then, you know, she was clueless and scared. So it was very heartbreaking to read this. So as I mentioned before, it was noted that the victims were killed through stabbing, for the exception of the older woman who appeared to be shot in the head. So medical examiners took the bodies to thoroughly examine them and determined the true cause of death. At this point, they really had no true suspects or really any idea what might have happened, aside from a possible suicide murder. I think at this point, it was just so much and it was so gruesome that, you know, they're trying to piece it all together and see what might have happened. As the investigation continues, police believe that the family was specifically targeted because there was really no immediate danger to the rest of the community. And this is something that I specifically saw the sergeant, when he did like a press conference, he said there's no really immediate danger to the rest of the family. So that's why they thought that the family was specifically targeted. And the way that these murders were committed was just very gruesome and cruel, and something you see if the victim was truly being targeted. Initially, they believed that the first and main target was Maria Martinez, the daughter, because she was shot to death, unlike everyone else who was stabbed to death. So the case was a mystery for months until around May of 2016, when the true break in the case occurred. As a routine part of the investigations, the investigators gathered DNA samples from the family members of the deceased family. And when they tested it, they found a match for one of their family members. The DNA that was found under Maria's fingernails was a match for Diego Uribe, who's 22, and he was Maria's nephew through marriage. So he was her ex-husband's nephew. Once they discovered this match, they also looked into his phone records, which corroborated that Uribe was at the Martinez home on the day of the murders. So him and his girlfriend, Jafet Ramos, she's 19, were arrested in their little village home on May 18th of 2016. Police stated that they both gave recorded confessions and proceeded to explain murders of the night of February 2nd. So Diego Uribe started by saying that Maria is his uncle's ex-wife, and police believe that there was already some bad blood between them. Uribe arrived to their home on February 2nd in the late afternoon. Maria opened the door because obviously he was family and he was a frequent visitor. Police said that they had an argument in the first floor, then went upstairs where he shot her in the head 4 times. Noe Jr., who is her brother, heard the gunshots and went upstairs to see what was going on, to see if he could, you know, break the altercation apart, whatnot. When he got up to the second floor, he was beat by Diego with his gun. So he was beat to death. Rosa, Maria Noe's mom, also ran upstairs to see what was going on, and Diego pushed her down the stairs, proceeded to grab a knife from the kitchen, and stabbed her to death. So at this point, we have 3 people deceased in the home already. So then Diego forced Leo, one of the children, to grab a bag to help him steal stuff. He took an Xbox One, some jewelry, and about $550 in cash, all while forcing him to also look out at the window because the grandfather, Noe Sr., was out buying tamales for them. So after gathering the items, he stabbed both children to death. And per an ABC 7 News report, they said that during his confession, Diego told police that, quote, he got him with the same knife that I got his grandma, quote. Police also reported that before Diego killed the grandchildren, they begged for their life and said, quote, please no, please don't kill me. I just want to live, quote. So like I mentioned before, Noyes Sr., the grandfather, was not home. And as soon as he arrived, he was pulled by Diego inside the home and he was stabbed to death as soon as he walked in because his body was found right by the front door. So the couple, Diego and his girlfriend, took the items and the cash that they had stolen from everyone and fled the scene. Police stated that their main reason that they thought at this point was to just go home, go to their home and steal from the family. So I guess it was just like a burglary gone wrong. So once the autopsies were completed, police discovered that Maria Martinez was the first victim as she suffered 4 gunshots to her head and 1 on each hand. Her body was found in the upstairs bedroom in a kneeling position. Noy Jr., the second victim, was found nearby his sister in an upstairs bedroom and he suffered 16 blunt force injuries and 13 stab wounds to his head. Rosa Martinez, the mother and third victim, suffered 45 stab wounds to her head, neck, chest, and abdomen, and about a dozen stab wounds of those were to her head. They also found defensive wounds on her hands and arms, which showed that she really tried to fight off her attacker. Alexis Cruz was 10, and he was found in the basement near a book bag and a binder with drawings. It was believed that he was doing schoolwork during his attack. He suffered 11 stab wounds to his torso and 16 defensive wounds to his arms and hands. Leo Cruz, 13, was found in the front room by the fireplace, and he suffered 11 stab wounds to the head, shoulder, and chest. He was also found nearby a book, homework, a pencil, and a ruler. The last victim, Noy's senior grandfather, was found just inside the front door, and he suffered 10 stab wounds to the chest. The tamales and the hot chocolate were indeed found nearby him. So remember the dog that I mentioned? I'm going to break your heart again. Because right after the crime scene, the neighbor that was very involved that I mentioned before, she actually took the dog in to take care of him while the police found out, you know, what was going on and where the dog was going to go. So then police asked her, who in the family could they trust to take the dog? And the first person that she thought of was Diego. Mind you, this all happened maybe the first couple of days after the murder. So they hadn't identified Diego as the murderer. But after they identified the murders, she mentioned, quote, the dog was already scared and upset, and I had no idea I was giving it over to the person that just killed its whole family in front of him, quote. So at their first court appearance, Diego and Jafet were both denied bond, obviously. And although Jafet did not actively participate in the murders, she was an accomplice for the entire thing. And she actually said that the reason why she helped Diego was because she wanted to help cover it up because she didn't want Diego to be, quote, taken away from her. So I guess she assumed if I help him cover it up, then we'll be okay. And then we can be happily ever after forever. So in a court hearing in June of 2016, together they were charged with 493 counts, including first-degree murder and felony murder during a residential burglary. They pleaded not guilty and requested to file a motion for discovery. Their trial has been postponed for years now, since 2016, and their next court appearance will actually be this Monday, April 18th. So 6 years later, although we know who the immediate murderers are, this case took a wild turn because there was some information that might have linked this murder to a Juarez drug cartel in Mexico. There was an informant who was deported to Mexico who gave a tip to the DEA stating that Maria's ex-husband has stolen and fled with 200 pounds of drugs. So then they went ahead and believed that this murder was a possible revenge against Maria and her family. So although we don't have concrete evidence that it might have been that might have been the motive, that data still does exist. So her husband did flee with the drugs, and all of that. So now what is up in the air is whether or not Diego did it as revenge or if he truly did it to simply steal the money from her. And it's just sad that Diego killed 6 people, a very loving family, all for an Xbox, some jewelry, and $500 in cash. And then I think, like, after he pawned the jewelry, it was only like $200. So all in all, it was less than $1,000. And unfortunately, 6 people were killed. So obviously, this murder left the Gage Park community very unsettled and with a broken heart for many, many months and even years, I would say. The house was vacant for years and until it was recently bought and renovated in 2020. A lot of people even believe that they saw the spirits of the victims walking through the homes. Because this house was located in a nearby area to me, I decided to go a couple of years ago, and the energy there is very unsettling, kind of creepy. And like I said, some people thought that they saw ghosts and the spirits of victims. So it was very unsettling to just sit out there and look at the house and know that 6 people were just so cruelly murdered in there. So it is very creepy. But like I said, it was bought in 2020, and kudos to the people that live there now. I hope that they did a deep cleanse in it, and I hope they're peacefully living in the home. The bodies of the victims were sent to Mexico, where they were buried, which is just their family wishes. So now we just await the trial of Diego and Jafet and hope that justice is served, whether it's sooner in their trial on Monday or in a couple of years. Nonetheless, they're still in jail, and I know justice will be served in the long run. So I think this story is too sad for us to think of a real takeaway, but we've seen like a pattern over and over again where the murders just aren't very smart. And we always say we do not condone murder whatsoever. We do not. But it is very obvious patterns that we see on and on where they don't really cover their tracks, and that's why they're just so easily caught. So in this case, you know, like Diego and his girlfriend went about 2 months without being caught, without being seen and whatnot, like until the DNA thing happened. So, you know, like they just didn't flee. They just didn't go anywhere. They just stayed home living their regular lives.
With the murdered family's dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I can't believe. How that poor dog.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention also, they never found the murder weapons. So like the gun that he used and the knives, they knew it was from their kitchen. They just never found it. So there was no real like fingerprints and whatnot. And basically that was a girlfriend's job, you know, to like cover everything and clean everything. So I guess she did a pretty good job at it, but the DNA under the nails was just what did it, you know? So I guess, they thought they did a good job, but there's always, you know, some cracks in the case, and you can always cover your bases. So that's all we have for today's episode.
We will be back next Thursday continuing our category for the month of April of familicides.
And as always, if you haven't already, don't forget to follow us on social media at Real Time Crime.